Good morning, church. Welcome home. You know, I say that every Sunday, and I truly hope that you find Tenasket Free Methodist Church to be a place where you could call home. You know, we are a church that worships God, loves people, and makes disciples, and our desire is to help people find and know Jesus. And so I am glad that you're here with us this morning. You know, my constant prayer every day for this whole month is based out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, in the words of Paul, where he says, "Live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." That is my prayer for us, that we'd be rooted and built up in the faith. You know, last week I told you that we would start a new sermon series called Rooted, and I want to talk about different ways where our lives can flourish with God, and I want to do that again this morning. You know, last week I used an illustration of an iceberg where you can only see 10% of the iceberg. It's the 90% that we can't see. And I talked about how King Saul was a guy who wasn't really paying attention to his inner life. He had a public life, but he had no private life with God, where he didn't address the things that were under the surface of his life, and it caused a lot of problems in his life. You know, I was always taught that you can't really trust your feelings. You can't really rely on your emotions. And so, you know, that's true in a sense. Our feelings, our emotions kind of come and go, and they're like a roller coaster. They go up one minute and down another. But you know what? We don't have to ignore those, because God created us with emotions. He created us to feel sadness, joy, anger. God even feels. You know, author Peter Scazzaro says this: when we deny our pain, losses, and feelings year after year, we become less and less human. We transform slowly into empty shells with smiley faces painted on them. Sad to say, he goes on to say that this is the fruit of much of our discipleship in churches. You know, friends, I want to be super transparent before you. There was a moment in my life where I suffered from severe depression. And I didn't know what to do, in fact. I felt shame, actually, for the feelings and emotions that I was feeling. I didn't know how to process what was going on underneath the surface. And the longer that I ignored those emotions, and the longer it went on, I lost my ability to connect with people whom I loved very much. But you know what? God has created us to feel and have emotions, and we shouldn't ignore those things. You know, God had emotions. In Genesis, after he made you, after he made people, you know what he said? He said, he looked around at his creation and he says, "It's very good." Even Jesus in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, it says that he was full of joy. In the Old Testament, God's heart was deeply troubled. And so God is an emotional God. He has feelings. He has emotions. And he's created us with feelings and emotions that we should pay attention to. If we don't pay attention to them, we begin to live out of what I'm calling this morning, and what many people call, a false self. We don't live out of our true identity in who God created us to be. The false sense, the false self, is pretending to be someone who we are not. And we either do that consciously or unconsciously. But friends, as soon as I began to pay attention to my emotions, and as soon as I brought those feelings and emotions to God and submitted those to Him, that's when I began to experience this spiritual revival in my heart. And that is my prayer for you today, that today that you will experience, in one way or another, by the power of God, you will experience a spiritual revival in your heart. Now, our kids told us this story of David and Goliath, this well-known story in 1 Samuel 17. Goliath, as you know, as our kids said, in some way, Goliath was this massive man. He was 9 feet tall. He wore armor that was 125 pounds. Can you imagine walking around with armor like that? His spear, the tip of his spear, was 15 pounds. I mean, this man seemed to be indestructible like the Terminator. I mean, just this gigantic of a man. And we learn in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 9 and 10, that he would come out against the Israelites, you know, facing towards them. And for 40 days, he would challenge them. He said, hey, send me one of your men to fight me. And if they fight me and kill me, then we will become your subjects. But if I fight your man and I kill him, then you become our subjects. And for 40 days he did this. For 40 days he put fear into the lives of these Israelites. And no one wanted to challenge Goliath. Except one day this young teenage shepherd boy emerges, David. And he is the only one that chooses to step up and fight this man, Goliath. You know, how did he do that? How was he able to do that? Well, I think there's several things we can learn in this event, this account here in 1 Samuel 17. The first thing is in verses 28 through 34, is that David's life was rooted in God's voice. You know, David had several voices that he needed to sort through. And you know, there's so many voices in our lives, from being on Facebook, like many of you are on right at this moment, and I'm glad you're on today, but there's so many different voices from the news. We all have our preferences to what news we like to listen to. But even at that, friends, we have to submit those voices to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are the only voice that I need to listen to. You are the only voice that I need to seek. And so David has all these different voices. David is the youngest of seven brothers. We learn in verse 28 that his older brother, his oldest brother, in fact, Eliab, was the one in the family that probably had some authority, and probably David looked up to him. But Eliab wasn't very supportive of David, not supportive at all. Look at verse 28. It says this, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep with? I mean, he simply does not think that David has a very important job. I know how conceited and wicked your heart is. You've come down only to watch the battle. I mean, this is so horrible. We don't know much about David's mom. She's not here in this story. We don't know very much more about his family, except that he was in a big family. But you know what I see here is that he's in this very unsupportive family. He's been labeled conceited. He's been labeled wicked. And he has been labeled as just not very important because he has this job tending a few sheep. And I know some of you listening today have grown up in families, or perhaps you're in a relationship today where you have been labeled. You've been labeled wicked. You've been labeled conceited. You've been labeled as you fill in the blank. And I know listening to this today, that has probably struck a chord with you. But David has this choice. Do I lean into these voices and say, yeah, that's who I am. I better just go back to tending my sheep. Or do I trust in another voice? Do I just go on living this false self? Or do I live in my true identity and who God created me to be? And so he's got to cut through or sort through the voices of his family. Not only that, but we learn in verses 29 and 30, he's there standing with these men in the battlefield. And he says, can I even speak? And the men gathered there and said exactly what his brother said. So now he's got to sort through the voices of the crowd. Who is he going to listen to? What voice will he listen to? Not only that, but we learn in verse 33, when David volunteers to fight Goliath, King Saul comes before him and says, David, you can't do that. You're just a boy. I mean, look over here. Look at the notches on Goliath's belt. I mean, Every one of those notches indicate how many people he's killed. He has way more experience than you. You cannot do this. Whose voice will he listen to? Whose voice will you listen to today, friends? 1 Samuel 17:34 through 36 tells us David's response, and I want to read it for you. He says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God.'" That's David's response. Basically, what he's saying to Saul is, "Saul, you think this is your army, but this is the army of the living God. He is not defying Saul's army. He is defying the army of the living God." You know, I want to say it's really wise to take wise biblical counsel. We've got to listen to wise biblical counsel. But at the end of the day, you've got to come before God. And you've got to listen to God's voice. And David here is saying, "You know what? I'm listening to a higher voice. I'm not going to fight how you fight, Saul, because this isn't your army. This is God's army. And I am going to listen to the higher voice. And it's the voice of God Almighty." Whose voice are you listening to today? That's a very good question in the days that we live in today. The second thing that David is so sure of and rooted in is God's gifts and abilities that he has given him. You know, friends, I want you to realize that God has gifted you. He's given you abilities just for you. He's prepared good works in advance for you to do. He's gifted. You are gifted. You know, I want to say this and be totally transparent again. You know what? This has been a difficult time being a pastor. I've never pastored a church through a pandemic like this. This is really, really difficult. And I often feel like I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this job as a pastor right now. But God has reminded me time and time again, saying, "Ryan, you have everything you need in me." He's reminded me time and time again, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples were there and they said, "Jesus, there's all these people and they're all hungry, 5,000 people, and all we have is a little boy's lunch, some fish and some bread." And Jesus said, "Take what's in your hands, the fish and bread, and feed them." And when they walk by faith and they do that, God multiplies and he feeds 5,000 people. Friends, God has gifted you. Use what God has given you already in your hands and let God do the work through you. Don't hesitate. Don't say, "You know what? I'll begin to serve God when I know more about the Bible." No, Jesus lives in you. Begin to serve him now. He's given you everything you need. Don't say, "Well, I'll begin to pray when I'm a little bit holier." Just come to Jesus right now and talk to him. He'll meet everyone of your needs. Notice how David responds in verse 38 and 39. Saul gives him what Saul thinks is a great gift. He dresses him in his own armor, the king's armor, and he puts on a tunic and gives him a shield and sword and all that stuff. And David says, "You know what? That's not who I am. I'm a shepherd. I care for sheep. You're trying to put stuff on me that's not me. This is false. That's my false self. I'm just going to be me, what God has gifted me to be about." And listen what David does in verse 40. I want to read it for you. "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine." You know, I read that and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I like to imagine what that scene must have been like. But I imagine the people looking around and who were there were like, "What is this kid doing? Is he insane? He's taking off this armor. And I imagine David taking it off kind of just slowly, quietly, kind of in slow motion. And David is saying, you know what, Saul, I'm not going to fight how you fight. I'm going to fight with who God has called me to be, with the staff and sling in my hand. You know, make no mistake about it, friends. There were way more qualified people there, way more qualified soldiers there that could go up against Goliath, way more skilled soldiers there. Actually, in Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it tells us of this group of soldiers who were like the Green Beret. I mean, highly skilled soldiers. Let me just read it. It says this: among all these soldiers were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of them who could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Those soldiers were there that day, but they never stepped up like David did. God clearly wants David to be him, and David knows that. He leans into his true identity in God and uses what he has in his hands. And God desires the same for us today, for you to use what is already in your hands. Let him use you, and he'll use you and work with you and through you through this moment, this crisis moment in our lives. Whatever crisis you're in, he'll use you. You know, friends, the third and final thing this morning is that David is so confident in his true self before the Lord. He's rooted in God's power. He's rooted in God's power. Let me read verses 45 through 47 for you. It says this: David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." Let me just say that again. For the battle is the Lord's. I don't care what crisis we are in. I don't care what, well, I do care, but I want to tell you the battle is the Lord's. You get what I'm saying? And he will give all of you into our hands. You know, there was a reward for killing Goliath. This great reward, we read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 25, that the one who killed Goliath would receive great wealth. He would receive Saul's daughter in marriage, and a bonus, he would be tax exempt. But you know what? None of these Green Beret men are stepping up. Obviously, the risk was too great. They were not willing to give their lives. Even Saul, this great warrior who in chapter 13 led an army of 3,000 men over the Ammonites, he's not even stepping up. So we know David is not in it for the reward. He's not in it for his own glory. No, friends, he's in it because he knows and is deeply rooted in the power of God. And he's doing it for God's sake and for his glory. And he's doing it so that the whole world will know the living, almighty God. You know, friends, how are you handling the different crises that come into your life? How, church, are we handling this crisis that we're in? Because how we handle the crisis that we're in tells a story and a picture about a loving, almighty God. Because how we love one another, serve one another, how we speak to one another during this time tells this amazing story. And when people see us serving and loving one another and see you trusting and rooting your lives in God's voice only and in his power and in the abilities that he's given you, using them, people will say, you know what? If those people can come through the crisis like this, then God will do the same for me. And it's so true. David is doing this for God's glory so that the world will know about God. Well, we know the rest of the story. David steps up and he kills Goliath. David is rooted in God's voice. He's rooted in the abilities that God has given him, and he's confident and rooted in God's power. But I want to close with this, friends. Where does all that confidence in his identity come from, really? Where does it come from? I encourage you, after the service is over, to read First Samuel chapter 22. There's some writing there by David, and it's like a psalm that he writes. And in that 1 Samuel chapter 22, David writes about life's battles and about how difficult things were for him. And there's a few verses in there that really stuck out to me that relate to this crisis moment that David was in and that we're in today. And he says this, and this is where his confidence comes from. He says, "In my distress, I called out to the Lord. From his holy temple, he has heard my voice." So what does David do in the midst of facing a 9-foot giant with 125-pound armor and a spear with a tip that weighs 15 pounds? What does he do? He calls out to the Lord, friends. "In my distress, I call out to the Lord, and he hears my voice." He's saying, "God, I need you. I need you here in this moment." David goes on to say, "He rescued me." He continues to write, "He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." Do you have anything in your life that's too strong? David certainly did. And God rescued him. He goes on to say, "They confronted me in the day of my disaster." Are you in a day of disaster? But then he ends it like this: "But the Lord was my support." Friends, the Lord will be your support in these days. Friends, there were Saul's men, these very skilled men, and they were sitting off in the trenches somewhere, dominated by fear, controlled by fear, controlled perhaps by other voices in their life. And so, my beloved follower of Jesus today, I want to invite you, no, I think God invites you, to step out of these trenches and walk with quiet confidence into this open field as David did. And to say, "You know what? My ears are focused on your voice, God. And my hands, take my hands and use them for your service. They're dedicated to you. And God, my trust is not in the governments of the world, but it's in your strength and in your power." I want to invite you into that open field. If you have made a commitment today to walk into that open field and give everything you have to the Lord, would you just click on this button that is showing up right now if you're watching it through our website? I know it's just a button, but it's also a commitment that you're making to say, "God, use me in this greater way." And there's also a link on Facebook right now, if you're watching it there, that you could click on and say, "Yeah, I make this commitment today to follow you in a deeper way, to walk into this open field and say, God, use me." And friend, for you who may not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to say you can do that today. Jesus gives you a purpose. He offers you hope, and he offers you forgiveness. He offers a new life. You can know him today. And I want to help you take those next steps. And so would you just go to our website, click on our Connect With Us page, indicate that yes, you have made a decision today to follow Jesus, and I'll reach out to you and help you on your journey with Christ. Hey, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, God, we come to you today, laying bare before you, our hearts open before you, our real selves. We lay it all before you. And God, I pray for us who are listening today that we would take this step of faith to say, God, use me in any way that you would like. And God, I pray for the ones who will trust you today. God, give them courage to take that step of faith and say, God, I need you in this moment. I need you. And God, I'm confident that in their time of distress, you will hear their voice and you will be their support. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, I want to leave you with this closing word from the book of Romans. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I pray that you do. Have a great Sunday. Happy Mother's Day.